You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Except it's Wednesday morning. No. It's Tuesday, right? Groundhog Day? Yes? Yesterday was Monday? No, yesterday was Tuesday because Grant was on. So today's Wednesday. Yeah, how about that? Not to shut the door of my studio. Colleen's homeschooling. But guess what? Today's a independent study day. What? We've already pared down the school day to simply that which you do academically, which is take homeroom out of it, take physical education or whatever bullshit class you're taking out of it, take lunch out of it. There's 3 hours. And I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, it takes, I don't know what else. Take one of your other crazy classes out. And you're left with about 3 hours of academic work a day. But in the midst of that, you have to have independent study day? Because the teachers are working too much? They don't have enough time? I said, all right. So Colleen is sleeping. Shocker. Hey, I have to tell you something. If the elected people around the country think that we can sit at home for another fucking month, they're out of their minds. They're out of their collective mind. Because let me just tell you, the weather's getting nicer and people are going to want to go, right? But you can't go to a park, you can't go to a beach, you can't go to anywhere. The whole country, you know, everything's shut down. That we can exist in this state of craziness. And I got it. It's for the public good, right? But for the love of God, at some point, you know, don't ease off the gas pedal. Well, let me tell you, then let us go to the beach. Let us do something. Because everybody can't stay in their homes and go for a walk for another fucking month. I mean, look, I think people have shown that they got the memo. Okay. We kind of get what has to happen. And that's everybody through, you know, that's everybody. It's not like the public health people are out doing this. It's individual people taking care of their families and things like that. But, I mean, come on. Like, I see, like, for instance, the governor of the state of California, he's, and the three western state governors, Washington, Oregon, they put together kind of a criteria for, you know, how this, you know, how we come out of it. And interestingly enough, you've heard most of it on All Marine Radio. Yeah. Even to include stuff with restaurants that we talked about with the chef. Yeah. How do you spell that guy's name? Newsom? N-E-W? Newsom. Yeah. N-E-W-S-O-M. Criteria? Let's see. Newsom outlines criteria for California reopening. Okay, let me just, so, and these are from, I think all three governors agreed on this stuff, so I don't know it's anything particular, but, right, six indicators for modifying the stay-at-home order are the ability to monitor and protect our communities through testing, contact tracing, isolation, and supporting those who are positive or exposed. Okay, the ability, so what is that? That's not very well defined. So, I mean, don't we have that now in place? Evidently not good enough. But let me tell you, if the public health people say this, we're never going to come out of our houses. Yeah, they won't allow it. Yeah, we'll be here till August, I swear to God. The ability to prevent infection in people who are at risk for more severe COVID-19, they've got to stay at home. Okay? They've got to stay at home. And they're all, you know, much better off than they were 6 weeks, 2 months ago, because now we know what to do. But if you're at a higher risk, you ain't going back to work. The ability of the hospital health system to handle surges. Well, wait a minute. New York City just had a surge. Their hospitals handled it. And if you saw all the things that got moved and built, they were marginally used. They were marginally used. The problem you have in hospitals now is that the hospital is like used, like 10% of the hospital is used for areas that have surges in COVID-19. A lot of the ICUs are used. That floor is all used up. But in terms of the rest of the hospital, cricket, right? Those people being furloughed. That's a good thing, right? Wrong. The ability for businesses, schools, and childcare facilities to support physical distancing. Well, get that done. Schools, you already said they're canceled for the year. Okay, so let's take that off the list right now. Businesses, that's on businesses and the people that go to those businesses. What is there going to be a public health inspector that go out? Right? And you're already seeing businesses do it. I went to Vons last night. Vons now. You got to have a mask to go in Vons. Colleen and I were walking up. We had our masks in our pocket. And the lady said, hey, you have to have a mask to come in. So, Colleen, we whipped our little masks out. There's a white trash version of a mask that you can make out of a, you know, those little, what are they called? Kind of running socks. You cut both ends off. And then you lay it on its side. And you cut halfway through each end, about a quarter of an inch inside the sock. Okay, so you cut off the heel, you cut off the toe. Then you lay this thing down and you cut about halfway through about a quarter to a half inch. What would that be? 3/8 of an inch? Something like that. Anyway, my calibrated eyeball. So anyway, you take that and then so those become the loops. You take those, covers your nose, covers your mouth. There you go. Boom. So anyway, we have those in our pockets. And Costa Mesa, the city I live in, made it a rule that you have to have a mask on. So we went out for a bike ride last night. Out of the 21 people we saw outside, 1.5 had a mask on. The half was, dude was running with his mask off. When he saw us, he pulled it up over his nose. So I don't know if that really counts. Maybe it does. So maybe 2 out of 21, which is less than 5%. Or approximately, what, 1 out of 20 would be 5%. 2 out of 21 would be 5-6%, something like that. That's not good. So, yeah. So businesses are figuring it out, right? I go to Home Depot. They all, like you've experienced, they all have like tape on the ground. Stay away. People don't get close to each other. Okay. You come home from going out, you wash your hands. The ability to develop therapeutics to meet the demand. Okay. So we've already seen the healthcare system meet the demand around the country. So what is going to change? Every day we read that this hospital is using this treatment protocol with better effect. Next, the ability for businesses, schools, and childcare facilities to support physical distancing. I went backwards. I got excited there. So if you can't figure that out, and if you're not satisfied with your daycare, then guess what? You're going to have to work from home. And daycare is going to be a big deal. Why? Because the schools shut down. Remember when I told you that dynamic decision making is different? Because it's dynamic. It's not just a problem that presents itself and we convene all these authorities, experts and whatnot, people in positions of to make decisions and at various levels of government, and we study it and then we make a decision. It ain't that way. It changes on a daily basis. I mean, that's what war is. It is, there's a competing will, and it's different. It's different, and you've seen it happen in front of us. You know, we think it's this, it morphs to this, it then morphs this, then this now happens that we didn't think, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, but as I said before, businesses, you know, have to rise to meet those challenges. So, I mean, if you tell me that, okay, I can reopen, but as the chef said, instead of having 22 booths, I can only have 16, okay? And so my waiters are going to have to be masked and they're going to have gloves on. I might have some kind of electronic ordering system. I know that Outback Steakhouse has that. And then somebody brings you your food and you eat it. You can pay from there and you leave. So anyway, so things like that. And businesses will adjust so that they can stay in business, so they can stay, you know, keep their clientele. Same thing with the bars, you know, which I, you know, to me is, you know, bars that cater to a lot of people showing up and that's their thing, they're going to have to find a way to put tables in those things because you can't do the milling around thing. And people have to figure that out. So anyway, the ability to determine when to reinstate certain measures, such as stay-at-home orders, if necessary. So that would be when you have such a spread of it that you say, yeah, this city's got to stay at home. And it might be a city within a city. For instance, it might be, you know, Irvine might have to, hey, Irvine's under stay-at-home order because there's such a spread of it in Irvine. So to me, but another month of this, I think that's straight up crazy. You know, and again, I think the first things that ought to open, because let me tell you, people are just going to go, right? People are going to go. That, you know, to me, the beaches, I got to sit at home, but I can't go to the beach. I can't go to the lake. I can't put my boat in a lake. No, why not? It's just me and my family. We're around each other every day. I can't use the, what do they call the entry point? I can't remember now. I can't use that. I don't need anybody's help. I don't need anybody's customer service. I just want to use the lake so I don't lose my fucking mind. Okay. And so again, May 15th. Are you kidding me? And, you know, let me just tell you here, there's another part. There's another part of reality that comes in here, and that is this. What's going to happen, and this is why politicians suck, okay, is that you're going to make decisions, and somebody is going to die. But you can't keep the whole nation under lock and key. And the person who dies, their family, is going to go on TV and say, you know, Governor Newsom, Governor Cuomo, blah, 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 blah. You know, and again, I think Cuomo's going to have his day of reckoning. Why was the death toll in New York? Why was the caseload so high in New York? Why? Was it because his failure to act? And at some point, he's going to have to, as that story gets footnoted, he's going to have to account for that. And I think in future pandemics, when we have it, this is all pandemic radio right now. In future pandemics, there's going to be a blueprint for New York City. And that is you've got to enforce social distancing on the subway. That is, you're going to have to mask, you're going to have to glove, and you're not going to be able to pack in. And that's going to have to be enforced by the people that ride the subway. You know, social distancing. We're going to put dots on the floor. You can sit in the seats, or you can stand one person to a pole, and you can use every third strap that hangs from the ceiling. And if you don't have a yellow dot, you need to get your ass off this train. So those kind of things have to, you know, those kind of things. But that's us doing it. And this whole idea that, to me, there's great reluctance by governors, I don't want to be blamed for this. Another month of this to me is crazy. The first things that ought to open up are our national parks. You can take your family, you can go to Yosemite, you can go someplace else. You got to camp by yourself, you got to be smart. You know, I think Americans, you know, this is the land of the free. And so I think, especially as the weather gets nicer, you know, yesterday, beautiful day in California, and you can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere. The whole state sitting on its ass doing nothing. And at some point, people are going to say, this is bullshit. So anyway, good morning to you. This morning, you're going to hear part one of an interview I've done with a guy named Daryl Horn. And I think it's really kind of fascinating to understand how people went to war during Vietnam, to understand when they got there, what they experienced. And you're going to hear Daryl tell a story. Daryl's written a book. Let me tell you, he's a unique dude. His book is called Blood, Sweat, and Honor. A memoir of a walking dead Marine in Vietnam. Got out as a corporal. He was a mortarman. And he was married when he went to Vietnam. Now, one of the things I learned, and I didn't know this, but one of the things I learned from not Bob Nielsen, from Ken Rogers' documentary, Ken and Betty Rogers' documentary, Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor, is how young we were. I mean, I have to tell you this. I look at how young we were in Vietnam, and I want to tell you that it was bullshit. It was bullshit. I don't know, you know, the tectonic plates of the Marine Corps and force design and all the rest of that shit. But, I mean, you look at units, and they were like 18 and 19-year-old young guys predominantly. I mean, where were the NCOs, for God's sakes? No, everybody got out? They weren't retained? But, I mean, it's amazing. Honestly, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, how these my squad leader was a Lance Corporal. He's been in the Marine Corps for 2 years, and he's my squad leader in Vietnam. And that was typical. Where the hell's everybody else? Again, 18 and 19, predominantly the units made up of 18 and 19 year old guys. Well, Daryl, he's 23 years old. He's married. Yeah, he's been married for a couple years. And let me tell you what else is interesting. He stays married. He goes to the Vietnam, come home, still married to the same woman. Yeah, when we were trying to do part one, we couldn't get a video conferencing thing to work, which I like to use because it's better audio, right? And nobody got pissed. So I'm watching this, right? And here's, you know, a husband and wife kind of, and she's helping, you know, because she used it, I guess, more, the app. And so she's doing it. And he didn't get mad or anything. They're just chatting, talking. And so we were talking. And I said, yeah, I noticed. He said, no, we met in high school, started dating in high school. And, you know, we've been through all of it together. I mean, what an incredible love story, right? So, yeah, so he's a bit different. They called him old man, and he said, we had another guy in Bravo Company who was older than me, and they called him Grandpa. And he's right, he shows up as a PFC Lance Corporal. But most guys there were 18, 19 years old. And so anyway, you're going to hear his story. And again, the book is called Blood, Sweat, and Honor, Memoirs of a Walking Dead Marine in Vietnam. And so for those of you who don't know about Operation Buffalo and Contien, Bravo Company gets into the first huge contact. And they walk into, you know, an ambush. And much of the company is decimated. So you're going to hear from him. And it's interesting. I mean, just little things that, you know, that he says, you know, you go from, you know, MCRD in San Diego. Yeah. I'm kind of embarrassed to say this. So Daryl's from Arkansas. So I said, so you go to Parris Island? And he said, no, I went to MCRD. And I said, Arkansas is on the west side of the Mississippi River? And he said, I think so. He said, yeah, I think so. He said something like that. And so I was like, what? In my mind, Arkansas is like in the vicinity of Mississippi, right? And so Mississippi on the east side of the river. I assume Arkansas is on the east side of the river. And so I pull it up on a map. Just for those of you who are as stupid as I am, Arkansas on the west side of the Mississippi River, just above Louisiana. So there you have it. But anyway, so you go to MCRD. And you hear some other funny shit too. Like, so it's always interesting to hear when I ask the question. So how does the Marine Corps get on your radar? It didn't. Like, why were you a Marine? Well, they walked in and they said, all right, we need 5 guys to be Marines. And we all, like, looked. And he said, I didn't run to or from service. You know, I knew it was part of my responsibility. But Marine Corps. And he said, I was the first one they picked you. Like, shit. But anyway, so MCRD to like your pre-Vietnam training up at Pendleton, and then from there to the 3rd Marine Division in Okinawa. And so you hung out at the 3rd Marine Division until they sent you forward to Vietnam. So he said, I was there about a month. And there's other funny parts. I'm not going to spoil them, but when he talks about them. Yeah, he wasn't told that he was going to Vietnam. He was told that he was going someplace else. When he got orders to Vietnam, he got told he was going someplace else. But anyway, so So he says, we go down to Kadena and C-130 lands. And we're, you know, we're queued up to get on it because it's come from Vietnam. It's going to turn around and go back to Vietnam. And he said, and they start unloading, you know, the plane. And what do you think they're unloading? And, right, you know what he's going to say, right? They're unloading bodies. And he said, yep. He said, they're unloading bodies. And he said, so, you know, talk about sobering. And so, but anyway, it's part one. And then we'll, next week you'll hear part two. And part two will center on, and we might have to do it in three parts. Because in my opinion, that's how compelling a story is. Part two will center on Operation Buffalo and what happened. And there's map. There'll be a map in the chip in part one when I put it up, as well as pictures of Daryl and whatnot. There's a Facebook page that you can go check out, and it shows he and his wife and whatnot, and pictures of Daryl at different, you know, book events and meeting different people. It's pretty cool. It's called Blood, Sweat, and Honor, and it's all that is one word on Facebook. So they've got a Facebook page. So, but the next part will be Operation Buffalo, and then that's not going to take like 20 minutes. We'll do that in detail. And because there's guys, so close your eyes now, right? Point to your nose. That's right. Point to your nose. That's Con Tien. Okay. Now, that's the base. Put your right hand out in front of your face and lay it flat in the air. Okay. So, and now put your left hand, same thing. All right. So, your right hand is Bravo Company. Okay. Your left hand is Alpha Company. And then above both your hands is the DMZ, right? And above your right hand is an area called the marketplace. That's where this thing starts. So you'll hear, you know, his story. And then there's Marines that I met from Alpha Company. And we'll talk about their story. So as we kind of pull content together. And so it's honestly, it's an amazing story of, but the picture that you're going to get painted for you is how they lived at Con Tien, the heat, the constant shelling, right? Going there by yourself, what that was like, showing up on day one and being told you're going to walk point. Now that didn't happen to Daryl, but I mean, it happened to other guys. And he said, you know, so you're going to hear him talk about that. I mean, so just talk, you know, what we would do now, hopefully, if you're in a good unit, you know, is you might be in the point fire team, but you're not walking point, you know, or you're probably in the main body, your first patrol, so you can see what's going on. And then somebody says, all right, you're gonna walk flank, you know, tomorrow morning. So the guys are walking point, you're out there on the flank, somebody's supervising you who knows what's going on. They're just inside you that can see you and is telling you, watch this, do this. Until you get the hang of it, right? You would hope that would be how it happened, so that you would have at least a good chance of survival. Well, not all the time in Vietnam did it happen like that. You're new, get out there, you're walking point this morning. First time you've ever been outside the wire in Vietnam. Good luck. Don't screw it up. So so all of that painted together, and then, as I said, you went there as an individual, and you had to survive 13 months of that, right? 12 months in country and a month on leave. And then you could go home by yourself. So you joined by yourself. You went home by yourself. So, I mean, really, I mean, a lot of it is head-scratching stuff. To include the rotation every 6 months of the company commander and platoon commanders, except in, you know, in, I don't know, I should have asked General Van Riper that. why did he get to keep his company for so long? Yeah. So anyway, as you can tell, I'm pretty excited for you to hear it. But it's a great interview, and he's a great guy, and his story, his story is a great story. And then the third part of the interview would be him coming home. I mean, this is the home of post-traumatic winning, you know, and you know, you come home and you don't talk about Vietnam, right? But he's different. Daryl's a man of faith. He came home to his wife and a loving family. And so he had a lot of support that a lot of guys didn't have. And so he came back, and then we'll talk about the impetus for the book. Why did he want to write the book after all these years? And so it'll probably be in three parts. I have to tell you that. I was thinking about that yesterday. So let me read you an email. Oh, I want to play some audio for you. Some audio of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, when it was asked, do you think that, you know, Marines should still have to get haircuts during the coronavirus thing? Yeah, it's awesome. In fact, let me find it right now. His dad was a corpsman. And went ashore on Iwo Jima. And so anyhow, let me see if I can find it. Let's see, just a reminder that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is not in the chain of command, but the Secretary of Defense is. You know what? One of the things I hate the most about all of this is the whole got you thing, right? That you see all the time. And it's just... To me, if I was there, I'd just ignore the question. If you're going to play gotcha with me, then I'm just going to ignore your stupid ass question. And you know, to me, a lot of these press conferences go way too long, and the president is a poster child for it. He's the worst. Right, and attempting to turn his stuff into campaign stuff. It's like, enough already, right? Enough already. And so get out there. And again, what it becomes, in my opinion, what it becomes is the president being baited into saying stuff like, I have absolute authority. No, he doesn't. Everybody knows he doesn't. Why he says stuff like that, not exactly sure, right? and then there's, to me, one of the most amazing things is that he's held to this standard, like what, last week or the week before, why don't you institute a national, stay-at-home order? And then, so he's taken a task for that, and this is the stupid game that gets played. And in my opinion, the world's a better place. Get out there, you know, get the information out there, take a few questions, and then say, okay, I'm out of here, and turn it over to the vice president and his task force. I mean, I wish some people would hammer it through his thick head that you running your jib for 2 hours is not a good thing, okay? Even if, you know, for people that moderates that say, you know, I think, you know, the government's done a pretty decent job. The more you talk, the more you turn those people against you. So, anyway, I can't find the, well, maybe I can, hold on. No, I can't. I will here in a minute. So, good morning to you. This is we've confirmed it, a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. This is General Milley right here.
The haircut during the pandemic. Thank
so,
you.
Yeah. So, whether they're Marines or soldiers or airmen or sailors, discipline is a fundamental function of our force. And for many, many years, the United States military has had hair standards. And I'll let the Marines as a service answer your question, Jeff. But yes, I think Marines should get haircuts from a personal standpoint. As a son of a Navy corpsman who hit the beach at Iwo Jima with the 4th Marine Division, it took extraordinary discipline to conquer that island with 7,000 Marines killed in 19 or 20 days and put a flag on Suribachi. That was a result. That Marine victory was a result of incredible discipline of America's 911 force and the Expeditionary Force. It may seem superficial to some, but getting a haircut is part of that discipline. So, yes, I support the Marine Corps. I'll let the Marines answer. The Commandant answered himself, but I certainly support it.
Kaboom! Yeah. Motivated. Yeah, I love that shit. Hold on. So this is dedicated to the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley. Good stuff.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Neller just became CEO of the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation? Marine Corps Educational Foundation? Whatever we call the foundation. I think it's Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation. Yeah, he just became head of that. The Jack Riley, one of my favorites. Yep. Time to check the weather. Currently, partly sunny and 48 in Quantico. Cloudy and 45, Camp Lejeune down the coast. 29 Palms, sunny and 61. Pendleton, sunny and 63. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy 69. Okinawa, dark cloudy 66. Afghanistan, Lashkar Gah, South Central Afghanistan, dark cloudy and 67. And Ramadi, very late in the afternoon, just about early evening, sunny and 79. In the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, it is 61 degrees under sunny sky. The wind chill's at 61. Looking for a high of 76 today, 69 tomorrow, and 65, 64 on Friday. So, exactly what we're looking for. All right, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi.
I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, to the headlines we go. Stars and Stripes, top of the fold. Germany arrests four ISIS suspects in an alleged plan to attack U.S. bases. Federal prosecutors said that the suspects were arrested early Wednesday at various locations in the western state of North Rhine-Westphalia. How about that? The German weekly Der Spiegel reported that the men's alleged leader, a 30-year-old Tajik man identified only as Ross von B., had been in jail since last year on firearms charges. Prosecutors said the men swore allegiance to ISIS in early 2019 and had contacts with high-ranking figures in the group. They reportedly first planned to carry out an attack in Tajikistan, but later shifted their target to Germany, including U.S. Air Force bases in the country and persons deemed critical of Islam. German authorities did not release details of which U.S. bases were targeted. So that's above the fold. Another USS Theodore Roosevelt sailor hospitalized due to coronavirus. That in the news. Pentagon's halt to travel will be extended as DOD leaders try to ramp up coronavirus testing. The initial expiration date was May 11th, Mark Esper said yesterday, and it will be extended. Now, there's people like, you can imagine, PCS orders supposed to be executed, people going to school, people leaving school, nobody going anywhere. Yeah, no small inconvenience. And the big thing that needs to happen is the ability to test locally, which then triggers quarantining and tracing and things like that. Next article, which is pretty interesting. Who wrote this? By Wyatt Olson from Stars and Stripes. USS Theodore Roosevelt's fateful Vietnam port call had the blessings of the Pacific's highest commanders. At his daily coronavirus task force briefing Monday, President Donald Trump expressed disdain that the USS Theodore Roosevelt, on which nearly 600 sailors have now tested positive for the coronavirus, risked the stop in Vietnam last month. In the days after the aircraft carrier completed its historic five-day port call in Da Nang that ran March 5 through 8, crew members began exhibiting symptoms of the disease which originated in China last year. The Roosevelt's commander, Captain Brett Crozier, was fired for raising the alarm over the ship's uncontrolled contagion. That's not exactly true. He was fired for doing that in a manner on an unsecured net and going public. So again, the painting of Brett Crozier as a saint. Okay. And the carriers now, did he write a letter saying he thought it was wrong to let the crew off in Vietnam? I didn't see that. If he did, I didn't see that one. The carrier is now in Guam grappling with the unfolding crisis, which has left one sailor dead, several in intensive care. The decision to move forward with the port call was made by high-ranking Pacific military officials only after a thorough analysis of the risk posed. I guess they fucked that one up, huh? At that point in the spread of the virus, right? Another instance of dynamic decision-making. According to a written statement provided to Stars and Stripes by Pacific Fleet spokesman Myers Vasquez, it sounds like a hyphenated last name, 3 days before the Roosevelt arrived in Vietnam on March 5th, think about that, March 5th, we're in March, for God's sakes. This thing is blown up in China. Planning for the Roosevelt's port call in Da Nang began in the fall and involved coordination among the U.S. Department of State, the U.S. the Office of Secretary of Defense, Indo-Pacific Command, U.S. Pacific Fleet, and the U.S. Embassy. The intent was to commemorate the 25th anniversary of U.S. Vietnam diplomatic relations, coming decades after the end of a lengthy war between the two nations. The Roosevelt would be the only second aircraft carrier to visit Vietnam since fall of Saigon. So, big deal. And we talked to Grant Newsham about stuff like this yesterday. It is a big deal. If we want to fight inside the weapons engagement zone, you've got to have people in there that will help you. The visit, which also included the guided missile cruiser USS Bunker Hill, was an important step in expanding the strategic partnership between the two countries by increasing cooperation in areas such as maritime security, peacekeeping operations, humanitarian assistance, and disaster relief. All of that absolutely true. The Indo-Pacific Command sent an execution order to the Pacific Fleet in January to formally set the carrier visit in motion. Pacific Fleet concluded a risk analysis looking at data from interagency health organizations, virus mitigation efforts for the crew, confidence in the accuracy of Vietnam's public health reporting, and actions already taken by Vietnam to isolate and contain the virus, Vasquez said. With that analysis in hand, Pacific Fleet Commander Admiral John Aquilino, recommended the port visit be made. Admiral Phil Davidson, head of Indo-Pacific Command, agreed. There you have it. Now, interestingly enough, these are the same guys that weren't moving fast enough for Captain Crozier. I wonder if he objected to the port visit. And now they're dragging their feet in getting me the medical attention I need. And so I'm going to write my letter. Because the letter airs out, not just the Secretary of Navy, but everybody. So anyway. The press release goes on. Throughout the port visit, all scheduled events in Da Nang were reviewed for potential COVID-19 risk, and additional support was provided by the host country to screen local participants in these events. A humanitarian assistance disaster response professional exchange occurred between the U.S. Navy medical staff and local health professionals. After two British tourists staying in Da Nang tested positive for the virus on March 7th, U.S. officials identified 39 sailors who had visited the hotel and possibly had contact with the pair. All were screened and tested by Vietnamese officials and then placed in 14-day quarantine on the Roosevelt. None of the 39 sailors tested positive for the virus during the quarantine. But 15 days after leaving Da Nang, three other Roosevelt sailors, none of them were connected to the pair of tourists at the hotel, tested positive. No Bunker Hill sailor tested positive during that same time frame. So, yeah, to me that's not enough. So what about the crew? Was the crew allowed to go ashore and you know, run about and scream and shout? Because for those of you who don't know, when Marines and sailors get off ships in foreign ports, they tend not to go to the museums, right? They go to the bar areas. They go to the strip joint area. That's where they go. Yeah, not always the best public health condition. So, So was everybody allowed to go to those places, or were the only people allowed off the ship, you know, to go to those events? It sounds like somebody was staying in a hotel, so that means the whole crew got off. So anyway, I think we need a little bit more detail on that. USNI News, there's a U.S. Fleet COVID-19 Prevention and Mitigation Guidance has been published, so you could check that out if you want to. You know, really, the important thing is that this whole testing thing has to get out and get disseminated. Okay, so you're going to practice social distancing. The people most susceptible aren't going back to work anytime soon. Okay, and with social distancing and all those measures and masks, right? We go back to work. And if you get sick, right, you go and you get tested, you go self-isolate, the people around you get told, they get tested, blah, 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 blah. So the testing really is a key part of this. The rest of it is behavioral, right? Another headline from the chairman, General Milley. You know, I have to say, General Milley wears the new Army uniform, the one they wore in World War II. That thing's so much better looking than, you know, that old green thing. Nice. Just want to compliment the Army on that deal. From the chairman, Truman Strike Group will stay at sea until the Nimitz battle group is ready to deploy. So I'm sure the people on the Truman aren't real happy about that, but safest place to be on a ship that doesn't have it or out in the middle of the desert in a unit that doesn't have it. So you got that going for you. Headlines from Marine Corps Times. Let's see what they're writing about today. Marines and sailors 3D print protective gear following outbreak of COVID-19 on Okinawa. So 3D printing is a huge deal. It's essentially using a printer to manufacture things, if you don't know. So pretty interesting. Pretty interesting technology, right? And all the different applications, you know, it's being applied to. This is the headline that goes with that audio I played a little bit ago. SecDef and Joint Chiefs Chairman say that the Commandant of the Marine Corps will get the call over barbershops remaining open. Now, if the barbers are masked up, right, and they're gloved up, and you're practicing social distancing, I can't go get a haircut. I mean, that's where we're headed. I can't do that. And again, it's a lot of this to me is the whole, right, is the whole gotcha thing, right? Reporters in public, you know, I'm smarter than you are. I know you are. That's why you're a reporter. Anyway, I didn't mean that. Maybe I did a little bit. I just hate the whole gotcha thing. Right. And I've always hated it. It goes back to watching guys second guess my dad. Right. So you've got a job and you write about the things that people do. You don't do anything. And you're going to come in here and tell somebody who makes their living doing it that they're screwed up. Right. They're snarky, dorky little, you know, goofballs. Right. And physical fitness, not part of what they do. And they're going to sit in there, me. Yeah, irritates me. I'm not going to lie to you. Top five stories in Early Bird today. Number one, military travel ban is getting an extension. You know that. Haircuts. That's the second story. We've already talked about that. Number three, four more Theodore Roosevelt sailors with COVID-19 moved to the hospital. One has been moved into ICU. Number four, Navy struggling to slow the outbreak on the USNS Mercy as seven sailors have tested positive. Yeah, this story made the rounds yesterday. A total of seven sailors aboard the hospital ship Mercy have contracted COVID-19 and been removed from the ship as the remaining crew scrambles to stifle a full-blown outbreak. And again, you see the importance of, you know, of the testing and all this. So, I mean, the government, whoever is controlling this, you know, and the dissemination of this has got to boot this stuff in the ass. Because, again, I just don't mean from a sanity standpoint, but from a debt standpoint, individual households, you know, that $1,200 a month, I mean, that ain't going very fucking far. So you work for years to build up your savings account, and now you wipe it out, and everybody says, okay, let's go back to work. And I wasn't even in the target of this outbreak. And now financially, I'm wrecked. I mean, you got to let people go back to work. So if the testing thing, kick it in the ass. Navy officials would not specify where the sailors have been moved, but unconfirmed crew members in close proximity to the infected sailors have since tested negative. Treatment of patients aboard the Mercy, which arrived in Los Angeles, will continue as planned. So anyway, the Mercy docked in Long Beach. It's the port of Los Angeles, but down in Long Beach, right? There's no harbor north of that suitably deep enough, right, to house big ships. So Long Beach is where they go. The, let's see. Number five, an arduous and tough situation for military medical professionals deployed to front lines of the coronavirus. Most of that is because public health around the country, and you've seen it, is underfunded and understaffed. That's just the way it is. And again, we've talked about it with Don Shields, and you know, they come to you and they say, we want coronavirus, we need ventilators in case there's a pandemic. You know, Bill Gates just talked about this. Okay, well, how many do we need? We need 10,000 for the state stockpile. Okay, how much is that? Well, $30,000 a piece. What? Yeah, that ain't happening. We can buy maybe a couple thousand of them, but here's what we have budgeted for capital improvements to the public health network. You can take all of that, but it means you're not going to get this, 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 and this. Oh, no, no, we need more money to plan for this. What's the likelihood? When's the last time we had something, you know, this big that impacted the world in the way you're talking about? 1917. Okay, yeah, we're not doing that. And so that tends to be the discussion with public health. So anyway, let's look at your news. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, you're going to hear the first of a two or three part, probably a three part interview with a Marine from Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 9th Marines, who is part of Operation Buffalo. And you're going to get to know Daryl Horn. He's from Arkansas. He's a good dude. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.